Genesis chapter 24, and we read in verses 3 and 4 of that chapter, verses 3 and 4, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Reading through Genesis chapter 24, you're actually reading through the longest of chapters in Genesis. As you read through it and travel through it, Abraham is now getting on in years, and he's coming towards the end of his earthly existence, becoming old as any father would do. He was beginning to grow anxious for his son Isaac, wishing to see him leave the family home and settle down. He began to look out a bride for him. It was the custom for men to be married around 30 in Bible times. Yet Isaac was now approaching 40, and Abraham thought to himself that it's time that Isaac got himself a wife. Looking around and seeing the worldly woman of Canaan, Abraham felt that it was best to find Isaac a bride, not amongst the women in Canaan, but actually back home in the land of Mesopotamia, the land which Abraham was from, sending for his servant who is unnamed here, but was probably Eliezer. We find he charged Eliezer to return to the land of Mesopotamia and to find a bride for his son, taking with him precious jewels as a gift for the woman. Abraham's servant made no delay, heading up the River Jordan. He then came eventually to Mesopotamia, and entering into the land of Mesopotamia, before he then began to seek out a wife for Isaac, we find Abraham's servant, he got down on his knees, and he asked the Lord to guide him. He asked the Lord to direct him to find a wife for Isaac, eventually landing in the very land of Nahor, Abraham's brother. There he spotted Rebekah. Seeing Rebekah, he then approached her. And as he came to Rebekah, he set before her an offer that was far too good to refuse, as the servant of Abraham was commanded to do and charged to do. What his servant did was he set before Rebekah the riches and the glory and the beauty of his master's son Isaac. You see, he was sent to win a bride for the son, and eventually to bring that bride into union with the son of Abraham. And as Eliezer was sent by Abraham, so our master sends us. He sends us to seek out, to find and to win a bride for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Don't mistake the application here this morning. He is sending out his bride. He is sending out his church to see sinners brought into union, brought into a relationship with the Master's Son, with Jesus Christ. Are you about that business today, believer? Oh, as Abraham gathered Eliezer, his servant, and sent him far away to seek out, to search, and to find a bride for his son. Oh, are you about that business? Are you about that business of seeking and winning the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing in the bride of Christ, bringing in those who are going to one day be married to him in that great wedding feast, that great wedding supper? Indeed, in Revelation chapter 19, there you have that wonderful picture, the picture of Christ, and of course he's the bride, he's the one that is married to his church, who are the bridegroom. And then in Revelation 22, three chapters after, we read one of the final invitations, the final calls of all of Scripture. And there we read in Revelation 22, verse 17, "That the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst say, Come." What is this challenge, this call given out? It is the call of the bride itself, calling others to be part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord has not saved you to snooze and to sit back. The Lord has saved you to seek and to go forward, to send to seek out the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Christ has that wonderful bride. He is the bridegroom. And he is going one day to be married and to that bride in the consummation of the church whenever he returns. One day, the church and their bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be in everlasting union. And oh, you're part of that business. As a member of the bride of Christ yourself, are you part of bringing others? Bringing others to be part of his bride. As you notice there that the bride say, come. It's the bride. The bride who are calling others to be part of this wonderful celebration. Because this is what we have in Genesis 24. Oh, it is many applications and there are many thoughts that we could bring from it. But primarily what is happening here? Here we find Abraham. He's sending his servant to seek out a bride for his son. And it is a picture of what God the Father does to his church. He sends us out as his servants to seek out a bride for the son, for his son. For his only son, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want to draw your attention simply to the thought of seeking a bride for the son. Seeking a bride for the son. Thinking about the servant here that was sent forth, I want you to notice firstly the position of the servant. The position of the servant. Verse 2 we read, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. In Genesis chapter 15, we're told that Abraham had a servant named Eliezer. And the vast majority of commentators believe that this unnamed servant here, this eldest servant, is actually Eliezer, named in chapter 15. It's interesting as you read chapter 15 that he is there described as a steward. But here in chapter 24, he is called a servant. He is called the eldest servant. Of course, the word servant here, it just simply means a slave. And we find that Abraham, as part of his large household, yes, he had sons, but he also had servants. He had slaves. He had slaves that were obedient to him. And they, slaves, of course, in Bible times were, they were obedient to their master. They had no wills of their own. They were sold out for their master. They only lived to do their master's bidding. And we find that in this chapter, chapter 24, over 19 times, or some 19 times, Eliezer actually calls Abraham his master, or, his master. Yet isn't it interesting how Eliezer is described here? He's described as the eldest servant. Verse 2, the eldest servant of all his house that ruled over all that he had. The eldest servant. Now what does that mean? Well, it seems that Abraham had many servants or many slaves. And Eliezer, of course, had been a slave for many years. And it seems that Eliezer, through his faithfulness and obedience throughout the years, he had actually been promoted within the ranks of the slaves. He was the eldest servant. This is not just referring to his age, although he would have been old here, but it was referring to the fact that he had a rank of position over the other stewards, over the other servants. And so here's a man who, yes, is a slave to Abraham, a slave to his master, but now here's a man who, through the passing of time, now has control of his own servants. Now has control of the stewards of the house. Yet we find that getting on in years, he made a vow that reflected how much he was still in subjection to his master. We read in this verse, Abraham asks Eliezer to do something. Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. This was a special ceremony. Here we find Eliezer as he placed his hand upon the thigh of Abraham. It was a special vow that was used by inferiors towards superiors. It was a testimony of obedience and faithfulness. So here's Eliezer, and yes, he's been a servant for Abraham for many years. He's been through the hard times with Abraham. Perhaps being on that journey from Mesopotamia to Canaan in the beginning, he has seen a lot of things with Abraham, and he has proved his faithfulness down throughout the years. Yet now, as Abraham sends forth his master again, what does his master or his servant Eliezer do? He makes a fresh vow of obedience and allegiance to his master. He is pledging to be faithful in finding a bride for his master's son. And before there can be success in seeking for Christ, there must firstly be a fresh submission to Christ. A sitting before and a bowing before him. Some of you may have been saved and converted for many years. And maybe like Abraham's servant Eliezer, you've been faithful. You've been obedient. You have served the Lord. You have been with him through the good times, through the bad times. You have seen many things with the Lord. And yet what is the Lord asking you to do afresh this morning? Simply this. Pledge a fresh allegiance to your master. Say, Lord, yes, I've been faithful to thee. I've been faithful to you down through the passing of years. But Lord, that doesn't matter. Lord, I'm going to be faithful. Faithful in bringing in your bride. Bringing in the lost ones. I'm going to rededicate myself afresh to be faithful, to pledge allegiance to you, my master. Indeed, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you find Moses rebuking the majority of the children of Israel as a result of their lack of obedience. We find that the vast majority of the children of Israel that wandered through the wilderness could not enter Canaan. And we find that Moses pronounces a curse upon those who were disobedient. However, he didn't curse all of them. Because in Deuteronomy 1 verse 36, we read, after cursing the majority of the children of Israel, we read, there save Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon. And to his children, why? Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And there was this wonderful promise to Caleb that despite his previous faithfulness and despite his age, he would see the land of Canaan. Why? Because he had wholly followed the Lord. Before there can be service for Christ and seeking for Christ, there must be a fresh surrender to Christ, a yielding to his will and not yours. Maybe even like Eliezer. You've been saved for many years and you've been faithful to the Lord. And the Lord, he will reward that. The Lord never forgets any little or large work that his servants do. The Bible says that those that give a cup of water in the name of the Lord, they'll be blessed. And maybe you've been faithful for many years. You've served the Lord faithfully. You've walked with him. You have seen hard times and the Lord has seen you through. You may even have position like Eliezer. But the question that remains to be asked is this. Today, are you sold out to the Lord? It's not have you served him in the past 5, 10, 20, 30 years. It's today. Yes, there may have been years past. But are you sold out to him today? Do you love him afresh today? Do you want to seek to bring in the lost today? Are you in complete subjection to him? You know, there was a little boy, and he was asked by his teacher to do a special errand. He didn't want to do the errand. He said, Miss, there's no way. I ain't going. The teacher was an English teacher. And she said to him, Johnny, that's very, very bad English. It's I am not going, you are not going, he or she is not going, we are not going. And little Johnny looked at the teacher and he said, well, miss, at this rate, it looks like nobody ain't going nowhere. And you know, like this little boy, may our response not be that I'm not going nowhere. But may our response be like Eliezer's servant. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do whatever my master wants me to do. The position of the servant. But notice secondly here, the preparation of the servant. Preparation, verse 10 we read, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Abraham had called Eliezer and bidden him to do the greatest of tasks. And to do this most choice of tasks, he had chosen his most choice servant. He could have called upon Eliezer. He knew his faithfulness. And so he asked Eliezer to do this task for him, to go and to find a son for Isaac. Now, if Eliezer had may have been a younger servant, maybe a younger slave, just into the household of Abraham, and been excited, he may have just jumped on his animal immediately, and may have just made that journey straight to Mesopotamia and tried to find a wife for Isaac. Maybe perhaps a younger, more inexperienced servant may have done this, but this wasn't what Eliezer did. Now I want you to see what he did. What did he do? He made ample preparation for the journey and also for that time when he would meet the future bride of Isaac. We read here that he went into his master's storehouse. And he searched for a gift to give this bride-to-be of Isaac's. And rummaging his way through the stores of Abraham, what did he do? He got 10 camels, he lined them up, and then he also found gold, because in verse 53 we read that there was precious jewels and gold and garments as well, and he loaded the camels with these gifts. In other words, he was going to give a gift to this bride-to-be. He knew that if he went to Mesopotamia and he said to a likely young maiden, you just hop on this camel with me and come back and you can be the bride of my master's son. He knew that she was going to need something to convince her. And so rather than going thoughtlessly or aimlessly to Mesopotamia, no, he knew that this bride would have needed convincing of the riches of the one to whom she would be married. And so what did he do? Well, he prepared himself to set before the bride both the possessions, the royalty, and the beauty, and the person of his master's son. And when seeking a bride for Christ, we must not go forth empty-handed, but full-handed. We must be prepared to convince men and women with the riches of Christ. Whenever you're going out to seek the bride for Jesus Christ, you need to be prepared. Be prepared to set before them the beauty, the possessions, the purity, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What good is it that you come before someone and it's your desire to witness to them, and yet you don't know who Christ is? Maybe, yes, you know that he saves sinners, but you don't know why that's important. You don't know how this bears upon their lives. What use is the treasure chest of Scripture if it is closed and you don't take it with you? No, you need to gather from the Scripture, glean from Scripture, take the treasure, take the beauty of Christ, and set the beauty of Christ before men. Indeed, in Galatians 1, we read in verse 17, speaking of Paul, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again to Damascus. You remember when Paul was immediately saved in Acts chapter 9, that the Lord almost immediately called him to be a missionary. The Lord had set him apart for to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But does that mean that the Apostle Paul became a missionary straight away? No. No, we find that as you read Galatians chapter 1, that the Lord set him apart for 3 years, and he went back to his homeland, to Arabia, and then he went to Damascus. You see, he was firstly prepared of the Lord before he then went to speak for him. And before going, there needs to be a gathering, a furnishing of your mind and hand with the treasure chest of Jesus Christ. Oh, let me ask you, are you in the Master's storehouse? Are you seeking to gather up those gems, the beauties of Jesus Christ? Are you in the treasure chest, the storehouse of Scripture, feeding yourself with the treasures, the jewels of Christ? Because this is what you set before men. As you seek to win the bride of Christ, as you seek to bring in the lost ones, you set before them the beauty, the possessions, the riches, the power of Jesus Christ. But if you don't have them in your hand, don't possess them, don't know the book, then you'll not be able to set Christ before men. I remember well being at a youth council training weekend, training for outreach. It's actually for a children's outreach, one like the one we're having this summer. And Joyce Walsh, our missionary to children, was teaching all of us how to teach a Bible lesson to children. And before she even got into how to teach the lesson, I can very well remember her first slide. Her first slide said this: fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. What was she saying? She was saying, if you fail to prepare your lesson, then prepare to fail when you stand before the boys and girls. And you know, it could be applied here. If we fail to prepare ourselves with the treasures of Christ, then we should prepare to fail. Prepare to fail in the work of evangelism. We would have no beauties, no treasures to set before the sinner. The position of the servant, the preparation of the servant. I want you to see thirdly here the promise for the servant. Verse 7, we read, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." You'll remember that we've already considered that Abraham made Eliezer swear a promise to him, to make that vow, to be faithful to him. Well, we find that Abraham, after doing this, he then gave Eliezer a promise of his own. Verse 6, we read there, Abraham said, and then these are the words that Abraham actually said to Eliezer. And he reminded very simply Eliezer the promise that he had received way back in Genesis chapter 12. You remember that promise. The Lord came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, get you from your country, from your kindred, unto a land that I'll show you. And he promised him not only a place, but he also promised him a people. He said to him, when you get to Canaan, your seed is going to be as numerous as the stars. You're not going to be able to count them. And that's what he means here in Genesis 24, unto thy seed will I give this land. And think of Abraham where he is now. Where is he? He's in Canaan. He is actually standing on the promise. He is standing in the promised land. And as he looks down, he sees the promised seed, the promised son. He sees Isaac. There he is actually standing and beholding a literal fulfillment of promises before his eyes. And now realizing this, what does he do? He's basically saying to Eliezer, look, if the Lord can take me from Mesopotamia to Canaan, the Lord can take you from Canaan to Mesopotamia and find a wife for Isaac. And he then states that whenever you go and you're faithful, and if no one comes, then don't worry. Verse 8, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. In other words, he's saying, look, that's fine. The Lord will still keep his promise. He will still, in his own time, find a bride, find a wife for my son Isaac. See, bringing in the bride of Christ is not a mission to be doomed, but it is a mission that is decorated with success. His people shall and will be gathered in. Why? because of a promise. Because way back in eternity past, God the Father made a promise to God the Son. He promised that He would give Him a people that He would die for. And they would definitely be gathered in. And of course you see the fulfillment of this promise in the book of Revelation and chapter 5 when John lifts up his eyes to heaven and what does he see? He sees a people redeemed to God by the blood of Christ from every kindred, every tongue, every nation. There you see the fulfillment of the promise. Now, how does this encourage us today? Well, it encourages you in this way. God has given His Son a people. He has given His Son a bride. And that bride will definitely be brought in. And so the Lord sends you forth. Sends you forth armed with this promise that God has a people, His covenant people, that He has sent His Son to die for, and they will definitely be brought in. And so, when the Lord sends you out to evangelize or to bring in His Son, bring in His bride for His Son, then it is a mission with the promise of success. Is God a liar? No. Bible tells us God can't lie. Bible tells us God is not slack concerning His promises. Again, John 6, verse 37, we read, and this is a wonderful promise for evangelism. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did you understand it? We know the second part of the verse very well, but remember context, remember the first part. All that the Father that gives me, Christ is speaking, all the people that the Father has given me will come. They'll definitely come. And when they come, then they'll not be cast out. They will indefinitely, eternally be saved. As the Father has given to the Son a people, so you are to bring that people to the Son. And yes, there are times like Eliezer, when you'll have doubts. And you'll say, and I'll go to them, and I'll warn them, and I'll ask them to come and to be married to the Son of my Master. And there'll be times that they won't listen. And times like Eliezer, you'll even doubt, is it worth me going? Ah, but remember the promise. Christ has a bride. And that marriage supper will definitely take place. And so it's just your job to be faithful. It's not your job to coerce responses, coerce success. As Abraham said to Eliezer here, just be faithful. Just be faithful. And the bride will be brought in. Adoniram Judson was a missionary to Burma. And once he was imprisoned and he was chained to a bamboo pole. And a fellow prisoner looked at him and said, Mr. Judson, how do you feel now about the conversion of the heathen? And looking at him with a smile, as a missionary to Burma, he said, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. And that's the way to look at winning the lost. The prospects are as bright as the promises of God. Don't look at the bleakness. Don't look at the discouragement. Look at the fact that God has promised a people to Christ. They'll be brought in. And it's up to you to be faithful. There's much more we could say. You could think about the prayer. You could think about the purity, the prudence. But one last thought. I want you to think here with me about the path of the servant. Verse 27, we read, he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Imagine Eliezer, camels and all, laden with jewels and laden with gold. And he takes off up the river Jordan and he then makes the beeline for Mesopotamia. And then he comes into Mesopotamia, begins to pray. And eventually, who does he stumble upon? He stumbles upon Nahor, the brother of his master, Abraham's brother. And of course then, you know the incidents there, and how he then espies Rebekah, and then how Rebekah eventually agrees to come with Eliezer. But what is the lesson in all this? Well, what does he say? I being in the way the Lord led me. See, he had sought the Lord. The Lord was with him. The Lord had given the promise through his master. And what did the Lord do? He led him directly to the very person. The very person that was going to be the bride of Isaac. He led him to the right person in the right place at the right time. And when we are in the way, then the Lord will show us the way. The Lord will lead you to the right person in the right place at the right time. This is how providence works. The Lord sends you forth. He gives you his promise, gives you his Holy Spirit, gives you his presence, and then providentially, he brings someone along your path. And who are they? They are one of the Lord's people. They are one who are going to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. He leads you exactly to those for whom he has died. You remember in Acts chapter 8, Philip was in revival. He was in Samaria. Many were being saved. And then the Lord comes to Philip and says, Philip, I want you to leave Samaria. I want you to go to the desert. I want you to go to Gaza. Imagine Philip, go to the desert, Lord. Is there anybody there? Is there any point? But nonetheless, Philip goes. And Philip then is in the desert in Gaza and he's waiting there. And what happens? A chariot begins to go past. And there's people there, many people in this chariot, these chariots. And then all of a sudden, Acts 8:29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And who does he jump up and see in this chariot? The Ethiopian eunuch. And what's the Ethiopian eunuch doing? He's reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip preaches unto him Jesus. And the eunuch is saved. The Lord could have said to him, the next chariot or the next one. But the Lord led him to the right person at the right place at exactly the right time. The Lord not only devises your steps, he also directs your steps. He leads and guides you to those for whom he died. Isaac, what happened? Well, you know the story. Isaac, he is married to Rebekah. Rebekah's brought home, and he then is married. And there is that bride brought to the son. Finding a bride for the son. May God bless his word to your hearts and lives this morning.